I really liked what Barbara said. Barbara said, you know, why would people wait till somebody's on their deathbed to go visit them? You know, so we need to visit each other, right? Visit somebody. Call. You know, Steve doesn't wait. He's passing out. He doesn't wait to pass out, what is it, some encouragement. Yeah, he's passing out some encouragement, and that's what we can do. Yeah, Lord, just pray that you'll bless this message in Jesus' name. So, turning to Genesis, got to turn it on again. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. We know this is a picture of Christ. The animal died so that their nakedness could be covered. And Christ died for us. The story goes on. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And is there anything wrong with being a tiller of the ground? No. You know, the Bible has parables about sowing the seed, and like we should be, you know. We should till the ground. We should sow the seed. You know, so there's nothing wrong with either one of their occupations. Are they bad people? No. There are two different types of people represented here, though. Abel is saved and Cain is not. Or Abel is thinking with God and walking in the Spirit, and Cain is thinking in his flesh and not thinking with God. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground of the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel's offering, and he did not respect Cain and his offering. So you have grass, herbs, fruits. They can't save you, right? And we have mountains, rivers, trees. They reveal the glory of God. Creation sings. It reveals the glory of God. But it has to be the blood to atone for the sin. It has to be Jesus. And I might not like the fact that God doesn't accept religion. He doesn't respect religion. He doesn't respect some religion other than that has to deal with the blood of Jesus. And how good it is, though. There's lots of good works, right? Lots of religions do good things. And then how about how beautiful it is? Anybody ever visited cathedrals over in Europe? You know how beautiful they are? You know, or I haven't visited, but I imagine the Buddhist temples and all kinds of beauty, man-made beauty, like very beautiful ornaments, or maybe how popular religion can be, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And I remember I asked for prayer for this guy, Daniel, and he's been on my mind that I think Legia and Cindy had witnessed to him, I don't know, a month or two ago. And then Legia and I were just on a walk, and he was outside messing with a boat trailer, strapping wood on it, and she was on the phone with Becca, so I started talking to him. And he said that he works at the airport, and he has to keep track of the moon and all, and Ramadan, and give them off special time for lunch, and different religions, different stuff. And he says, I respect all religions. And I said, I don't. And he was like, what? And it's funny, and I said, I only respect Jesus in his way. And I said, I respect their freedom. I respect people's freedom to believe whatever they want, but I don't respect their belief. God doesn't respect their belief. You know, he didn't respect Cain's offering. He didn't respect it. And God disrespected Cain's offering. Are you dissing me? Disrespect, that's a bad word, you know. It's like disrespect of Cain's offering. If we try to come to God through any other means than Christ and his blood, God doesn't respect that. I'm more religious than you. And that can come in many forms, right? It can, like, Satan's very subtle. He can make us, in our own walk with God, start making something our religion to where Jesus is not at the center of it. It's the religion. And God doesn't respect that. And how about this? I'm more Christ-like because I'm less traditional. Watch that too, because Satan is very subtle. He can make your less tradition a religion. That becomes a religion. I've actually heard people say, I'm so less traditional, and they didn't use these words, but they said, I don't need to go to church. And I've heard it a lot, actually. That's like, I'm not traditional. I don't need that. I don't need religion. But what does the Bible say? You know, and nature is my church. I heard somebody preach on that, and I was like, I've heard that several times. Nature's my church. Nature's my church. That's a religion in and of itself. I don't believe in Christian leadership. What does the Bible say? How about this one? This is one that's kind of creeping in with a very strong undercurrent. I don't believe in marriage. Like, we don't need to be married, right? We can just live together. And so non-traditional, they throw the baby out with the bathwater. To walk with God and listen to the word and trust God and believe him at his word, regardless of what we feel or what we think, we trust God. Cain thought he was doing something that God should be proud of him for, proud of him, and he thought, right? But what does God think on the subject? 1 Timothy 4:1-3, in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And verse 3 says, forbidding to marry. Like, this non-traditional thing can actually be a religion, something that's not Christ. God doesn't respect your invented religion. He doesn't respect your fruit basket. Cain has something growing in his heart, and it can happen to us in the flesh too. Remember I said they represent two types of people. It's either saved and unsaved, or thinking with God, walking in the spirit, or walking in the flesh and thinking in your own thoughts. So if you look at it that way, it can happen to us. A good seed, the word, can grow, right? And a bad seed can also grow. Margaret's like, I've seen those weeds. I mowed down these like thorny things. They're like this tall and they have really deep roots in my mother-in-law's garden. And I'm like, oh no, we let them go to seed. We're going to have trouble next year. You know, David's, you'll have trouble. But yeah. So Cain was very angry. He was furious. Let me see what my next slide. Make sure I didn't go past. Okay, Cain was very angry. He was furious, and his countenance fell. He looked dejected. Like the countenance, the Bible talks about the countenance of God. Moses' countenance, he shone when he came from the Shekinah glory of God. And then Cain's countenance fell because he wasn't agreeing with God. He was agreeing with some other thought other than what God's thought was. His offering of himself, of his own thought, of what he thought God should want to praise him for, was rejected, disrespected. And he didn't like that. And so instead of changing his thought and agreeing with God, that's called repenting, by the way, instead of changing his thought and agreeing with God, he was furious and his countenance fell. What do you suppose, anybody ever seen somebody do like that? I'm like an open book. Like, I have a hard time hiding my feelings. So if I really believe in something, people can see it in my face. And I can be very convincing because my countenance shows, like, I'm serious. I believe in this. But if I'm upset, people can see that too. I can't hide it. You know, it's like Cain's countenance fell. Some people can just hide it and just smile. They can be really upset and just smile on the outside. But Cain, his countenance fell. And he was dejected. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why is your countenance fallen? Why are you looking dejected? And it's interesting what sin does. God calls him out on this. I think of like God, he comes to Sarah and he says, why did you laugh? And she denies it. He's like, I didn't laugh. And then God's like, you did laugh. And God comes to Cain, he says, why are you angry? And it's interesting. It might have started off like, I just don't like him. I mean, he might have been angry at God first and deflected it or projected it onto his brother. He might have been jealous. Like, we don't know what was going on, but he was angry. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, so what did Abel do well? Just think about that. If you do not do well, sin lies at the door. The word is crouches at the door. Its desire is for you, and you should rule over it. So God's giving him a warning, and he's telling him, you should rule over it, meaning you can rule over it. And Cain doesn't accept the warning. And the sin, it's crouched. It's like four legs folded down, trying to look smaller than it is, right? And maybe trying to hide so you don't even see it. But it's bigger than it looks for sure. And maybe you don't even see it there. The Lord had advice, a friendly advice. It was a warning. There's a door and sin is crouching. You can't see how big it is. It's folded up. You can't see where sin can take you. In our own minds, we think we know. We think we got something under control. If you open the door, it will come and become a lot larger than what you thought. And then you don't have it under control. And you never had it under control to begin with. Playing with fire. And here's the other thing. But we have authority over it. We have the ability. And we agree with the Holy Spirit. The Lord says, you hate your brother. You hate your brother. And do we say, am I my brother's keeper? No, we say, I agree with you, God. Help me. Right? And not playing games with God. God doesn't play games. He has a sense of humor, and he plays games that way. Right? He's fun. He's our friend. He's our father. But he doesn't play games when something's serious. If you're a father and your kid's out playing in traffic, are you playing games when you tell him to get back over here? You're not playing games, right? When something's serious, you're on the edge of a cliff and your father's like, get over here. You can tell by the tone of his voice. He's not playing games. And so don't try to play games with him. Deflecting or getting defensive. And the Lord will be our counselor with specific words. That sexual thing in your heart, admit it before God. Admit it. Sin's crouching at the door. You don't know where it's going to take you. Like, what can it do? It can cripple you with guilt to where you're not walking with God. Like, he'll take everything from you, your joy. He'll take your joy from you and just hold you down and pin you down with guilt. Right? Or outwardly, he'll, like, come and destroy your family. Wreck your relationships. Cripple you. So as a counselor, not as a judge, as a watchman sounding the alarm, like I'm for you, right? And actually, I'm right here with you with secret things in my heart. I got stuff in my heart going on. Like, so when you pray, just add me to the list. Say, and Pastor Tom. Like, when you're praying for yourself and your friends, just add me. Because I'm dealing with the same stuff you are. And stop thinking about your neighbor. Can you say, my heart? Instead of, you know, you hear a message, you're like, yeah, they need that. Like, they really need that. Can you say my heart? God gives us warnings. There's a word for every one of us. Hatred, sexual temptations, covetousness and greed, judgmental, critical heart, envy, jealousy, many others. Like, you could probably go on and on and on. Many others that have to be dealt with. And if you do well, you'll be experiencing acceptance. Like in our walk with God, like we experience what's a reality, right? We are accepted with God, right? But like when sin comes in, Satan will tell us we're not. But if you do well, you're experiencing it. And how did Abel do well? I have been accepted through Jesus Christ. You do well. You have the right offering, right? We have an authority as a believer in that. We are doing well. We have the right offering. Satan will tell you you're not. Sin crouches at the door. If you do well, you will not. Will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies or crouches at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now, how does this play out in real life? Look at Romans 7. We were talking about that last Thursday night. Like, I do the things I don't want to do. I don't do the things I do want to do. But with my new man, I will worship God. I will walk with God. With my mind, I will praise God. And I ain't worrying about the flesh. I put it behind me. I go to the cross. I go to the right offering. How did Abel do well? He offered the blood offering. That's how he did well. It wasn't like that he, you know, that worked a lot himself. It wasn't that he was such a great shepherd. It was that he brought the right offering. And Jesus Christ is the right offering. How do you do well? You endure by faith. Like we learned last week, right? Endure by faith. That's how we do well. We trust God no matter what. In successes and failures, we trust him. We trust the value of the blood. We trust the value of the sacrifice. We do well. We have this attitude, I can't be defeated because Christ can't be defeated. That's how you do well. You think with God. I will have victory over sin experientially because it is finished. Because of the blood, he's paid it. I'll confess my sins to God and he will cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That's what it says, right? 1 John 1:9. He cleanses my guilty conscience with the blood. Hebrews 9:14. I'm coming to the cross and I'm doing well. Though you have not done well, don't despair. The remedy is at hand. Lay hold of it. Revelation 3:20. Christ, the great sin offering, stands at the door. Cain had no reason to be angry with God, only with himself. If you're not doing well, the sin offering's at the door. Come to him. You want door number one or door number two? Like each moment, we live in moments, right? In the moment, we can open door number one or door number two, and now we have another moment. We can open door number one or door number two, and now we have another moment. And we're just walking by faith, and we're continually opening the second Adam, right? We're continually coming to the sacrifice. Door number one's not working. And Cain got a word from the Lord. What if he had received it and applied it? What would he have done? If Cain had gotten a word from the Lord and he received it and applied it, he would have gone and offered a sacrifice of one of the flock. Right? That's what he would have done. He would have done well. Now the herbs, the fruits, all these things are great, and he's trying to offer them to God, and that's not what God requires. And like Psalm 19, like we have this general revelation, you know, the creation reveals the glory of God, the heavens reveal the glory of God, the stars are speaking to us, and we have this general revelation, and it's beautiful. All creation worships God, right? And then in that chapter, it comes down to a more specific revelation. Oh, yeah. a more specific revelation. It talks about the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Eve wanted her eyes to be enlightened, but apart from God. So instead of making us wise, like Cain became stupid, right? Like true enlightenment comes from the word. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More are they to be desired than gold, yea, much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. So we have the word, these different aspects of the word, and it's a warning for us, specific warning, specific directions for us. And when you're driving down the road and you're on a long trip and your GPS shows you a big old red line and it says plus 14 hours to your trip that's supposed to be 3 hours long, take a detour and get there in 1 hour. Would you be glad for that warning? You know, warnings are good. Warnings are good. But we just have to look at them that way. You know, it's more precious than gold and sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Like, we want these warnings because they're good. It's good to know. We know things other people don't know. And Cain was warned. And often before a great fall, God will give you a warning. How many times does somebody go out Friday or Saturday and God gives them a warning and then they end up at a bond hearing on Monday because they didn't heed the warning? Like, I've seen it like many times. It's like, wow. And warnings are good. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Whose errors? My errors. My errors. Cleanse who? Cleanse me. Cleanse me. This is like a specific doctrine, specific teaching. In the first part of Psalm 19, you have general revelation. The creation is beautiful for everybody. Everybody can see God in creation. But if you listen to his word, he's got an instruction for us. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Is cleansing beautiful? Cleansing is beautiful. To be cleansed, yeah. The secret faults. My love of money in my heart. Like, maybe other people don't know I love money, but in my heart I love money. And I want more money and more money. And I love to get more money. And I'm never content. There's nothing wrong with making money, but the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, right? I'm not content. I'm not content. It's a secret. Cleanse me from my secret faults, the sexual desires in my heart. Maybe people don't know, and maybe they don't need to know, but I need to know. Like, I, me, my. Like, we need to look and like, turn to God. Am I covetous? Am I sexually lusting? Do I have hate? Am I judging people? Do I ignore it? Or am I hearing a warning? Do I hear the warning? Or do I just hear the warning? You know, anybody? And the GPS is not God. Don't get this analogy wrong. But anybody ever see the warning on the GPS and is like, I'm going that way anyway. And it was like, I should have listened to the GPS. But yeah, and the GPS isn't God. Sometimes it's wrong. But God's never wrong. God's never wrong. Hatred. I hate someone. And I'm not telling anybody about it. Just in my mind. It's a secret. Cleanse my heart from secret faults. How? It's in the text. The word says it. By the word. God puts his finger on a sore spot. Why are you angry, Cain? And just put your name in there. Why are you, your name? God puts his finger on that spot. And keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. So Cain had already made a presumptuous sin, that a religion. Like he knew what God wanted better than God knew what he wanted, right? Cain was presumptuous in that. And religious people are presumptuous, presuming they know what God wants, and they have something in themselves to offer God. But then he had another presumptuous sin after that. He still knows better than God, right? God warned him. He didn't bring the right sacrifice. Instead, he killed his brother. The sin was crouching. But you know what God wants? Your heart. He wants your inner man. Your inner man. Like, you keep focusing on the external, like what you might do or what people perceive or your external. Even something you do that people don't perceive, you keep focusing on that, and he really wants your heart. He wants the secret, the deep things, the inner man. Our flesh can be religious and presumptuous, like the manna. The manna comes, and then God's like, take enough for one day, and they presume they can take enough for 2 days. And then God says, take enough for 2 days, and they presume they only can take enough for one day. You know, they're presuming. Apart from God's word, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Let them not have dominion over me. This is still in Psalm 19. And this is a prayer, right? Let them not, the sins, not let them not have dominion over me. And with a word, he can heal us and release us from that. With his word. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Well, guess who wrote this psalm? David wrote this psalm. And he also wrote Psalm 51, 7b. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. After he's talking about his sin. He's not blameless, right? And he's saying, wash me. If God washes, we need to be washed by the water of the word. The word. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. Who knows that song? You know that song? We sing it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O God, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord. Can like we really sing that to God? Can we sing that to God, or like we keeping something? We having some presumption. We know what I need. We know what I want. But guess what? Your new man doesn't want that. If you're a believer, you don't really want that, what you think you know that you want that's different from God. If you can't sing that song with all your heart, then it's a lie. It's a trick. It's a trap. And here's a warning. Sing it with all your heart. Give God your heart. Let the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be acceptable to God. Like, be acceptable. Who was acceptable to God? Abel. His sacrifice was accepted, right? He was acceptable to God. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So how? How in the text? The word. It makes us perfect, converting the soul. What? David can be washed and made white as snow? Like David, yeah, and you and me. We can be perfect and our soul can be converted. Sure, making wise the simple. We're making simple mistakes. Sometimes we're like, I'm so stupid. I know not to do that and I do it anyway. Romans 7. You know, how do I do the things I don't want to do and I don't do the things I want to do? Well, it can make us sure, like steady, like doing the things that we need to do. Like with the new man, we do that. Right. Rejoicing the heart. You got some joy. The joy, joy, joy down in your heart. The joy. Pure and lightening the eyes. We need to be wise. Clean, enduring forever. And true and righteous altogether. This is the word. This is what the word does. The specific word of God, not the general revelation that we see God, we worship God in creation, is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. But what happens when we live by the specific doctrine? Psalm 139. We know this psalm. He searches our heart and we get convicted. Yeah. No one knows it. Like, unless we share it with somebody, right? We can get convicted in our heart and no one knows. And we've decided to follow God and no one knows. But that's okay. Like, that's great. That's sweet. God knows. God loves it. And sometimes, like, maybe like we got this spot over here or the room in our house. Like, everywhere else we're worshiping God, but we don't want God to touch this spot. It's one little thing. That's ours. We're not giving it to God. So we go and we vocalize. We worship God. We serve God. We give our all to God. And we got this little room in our house. We're not giving to God. But then another thing more beautiful than that is when God touches our heart and we really give it to God, whether we tell anybody or not, but we'll want to tell people. Because Psalm 51 says, after you do all this stuff, I'm going to teach others your ways. You know? Yeah. Psalm 19:14. Moreover, by them, your word, your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. A great reward. Just the simple analogy, the great reward. You don't have to sit in traffic for 14 hours. But think about a greater reward. Like the greater reward. Like, yeah, I chose to think with God. And God is always right. Not like the GPS. That analogy only goes so far. But God is always right. And speak truth. You know, change your heart and say, I love my brother. And I can't hate my brother and love God. Cain's saying, I love God as he kills Abel. You know, like, maybe. Like, maybe he hates God too. But people can. We can be like that. We can be like that. And you know, the Bible says if you've done it in your heart, you've done it. Right? Murder or adultery, if you've done it in your heart. Like, how many people have we thought, like, if they were just out of the picture, this would be better. That's like a murder in your heart. That's like murder in your heart. Like, that's evil, right? And we don't think that sometimes, but God sees it. And can you do it? Can you love your brother? Can you deal with the secret sin? Yes. Yes. The word says we can. And I'm just going to close here with this little word here. I heard this. I love it. Numbers 13:30. Caleb says, let us go at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. And just breaking it down, he says, let us go at once. So when? When do we take possession? When do we go? Now. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is. When do you deal with that secret sin in your heart? Tomorrow, next year, oh, I'll get to it later. I'll get to it later. No, do it now. Do it now. Now faith is. And you feel equipped. We have victory now. Why? How can we have victory? There's an ark and there's the blood. And the offering that God accepts. And 40 years later, they went in. And what was the promise? Yeah, they did go in because God promised it, right? And what was the promise? This is Abraham, Genesis 12:7. To your offspring, I give you the land. Genesis 15:8. To your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt as far as the great river Euphrates. And he reiterated this to Isaac and Jacob. So, and he says, I've given. What does that remind you? A gift. That's grace, right? I've given you the land. They didn't do anything to earn the land. God gave it to them. And then Exodus 23:30. We don't think of this when we think of Joshua and Caleb saying, let's go take the land. All the faith they had. Exodus 23:30 says, little by little I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. So you have a promise. You're perfect in Christ. That's the promise. You're a new creation. That's the promise. And you also have a promise. You'll be sanctified little by little. That's a promise, right? And we have the land. Let's go now. Let's go now. Does it mean you won't sin again tomorrow? Does it mean that when they went into the land and they conquered Jericho that they wouldn't have any other fights? No other kings would resist them? No, they had lots of trouble, right? But they had rest. They mixed the word with faith and they had rest, it says. Rest in the midst of the battles. So if you want rest, take it now. Take it now. You have a battle in front of you now. Don't worry about the other battles. Like, you know, if God shows us everything coming up, we'd just be like, no way, you know. Just one day at a time. Just trust God now. And God is faithful. He is faithful. Just trust that he's faithful now. And take it now. Take the land now. And then two, we can possess the land. We can take possession. The 10 spies says we can't take possession. We don't possess it. And the two said, we possess it. We have a promise and we can take it. We have a promise and we can take it. The devil says, it's not yours. And we say, it's ours. God told us it's ours. Can you say that? We can take it now. The victory is ours. The secret things you can take now. We are able. We are able. We can do it. We can follow the Lord with all our hearts and denounce sin. We can. With the word. With the word. Fight with your sword. Fight with your sword. You have the word. Fight with your sword. The word says you can resist temptation and that he has provided a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. That's the word. Do you agree with the word? Or are you listening to Satan saying, no, you can't take it. There's giants in the land. They're too big for you. You can take it right now. Take it now. And we can't fix our old man. You know, you can clean up the outside some, but it's like putting lipstick on a pig. You know, like you can shine them up and your flesh is still your flesh. You're not going to fix yourself. You have to enter in to Christ, enter into the new creation and the new man and think with God. And the root cause is why the exterior stuff happens, right? It starts in the heart and it's crouching at the door, and then all this other stuff happens later. The secret things. You know, Cain had the hate and the anger in his heart. God saw it. Even if his countenance hadn't changed, God would have seen it, right? And so after someone opens the door where sin is crouching, they're standing over a body with blood on their hands. They're in shock at what they did, what was in their heart. And we say, God loves you, come to him. Don't be defensive and say, am I my brother's keeper? Search your own heart. Admit your own sin to God. My flesh wants to hold on to it, but the new man says, cast it out. Right? Cast out Hagar. You know, cast her out. That's what it says. Like, sentimentality would say, no, can't do that. Put off the old man and put on the new man. Satan says, wait a minute. You can't just, like, put on the new man. What do you mean you just put it on? Can't do that. And what do we say? Like a couple weeks ago, away with you, Satan, away with you. It is written. Hebrews 12:24. We learned this a few months ago, maybe 6 months ago. You know, the blood of Jesus speaks louder and stronger. Away with you, Satan. I can't just put on the new man because I have mercy. You know, Abel The blood of Abel is crying out for justice and punishment and condemnation. And Satan's over you talking to you about the blood of Abel. Condemnation, condemnation. You're condemned. Condemnation, condemnation. If you'll listen, Jesus is much, much louder. Listen, he's saying mercy, mercy. Mercy rejoices against judgment. The blood of Jesus is louder. You can just ignore the condemnation. Just ignore it. Just put it off. Just say, away with you, Satan, for it is written, the blood of Jesus is stronger. It's stronger. Numbers 13, let us go at once. Let us possess the land. We are able. So maybe you've been coming to this church your whole life, or to church your whole life. Maybe you got saved yesterday. I don't know. Like, I don't know everybody's. I know a lot of y'all's testimonies, but I don't know everybody's. But regardless of that, God knows our hearts, right? God knows what's going on. And like, in the old days, they used to have altar calls and ask people if they wanted to rededicate their life, to rededicate your life to God. But like, even like, shouldn't we be doing that like every day? Like every moment, we should be having little altar calls in our life. We should be having checks and be like, Lord, search me and try me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. I'm giving it to you. I'm walking with you. I'm stepping forward in faith. We should be doing that. We should admit our struggle to God, and we should lay it at the cross. And maybe we've answered the wrong door too many times, and Satan tells you, you can't put off the old man. He's too strong. He's a giant. There's giants in the land. We're grasshoppers. Don't listen to him. Don't listen. You can. You can. And this is what Jesus says to the Laodicean church. And he says, be zealous and repent. Be zealous and change your mind. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is the other door. Behold, I stand. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. This is the lukewarm church. Like, maybe we're lukewarm. Maybe we've just been coasting. Maybe we think we become familiar with the blood. We become familiar with grace. And really, that's not like, that's a presumptuous sin. That's like our religion that we invented ourselves, like familiarity. It's not really who God is, like holy, holy. All the angels cry holy. All creation cries holy. When you see how holy God is, you won't take things for granted. Don't be lukewarm. Don't take God for granted. Don't listen to Satan. Like now. Now, take the secret things of your heart and give them to God. And then little by little, maybe you'll have the same battle an hour from now, or 15 minutes from now, or 10 minutes from now, or 10 seconds from now. Make up your mind that when it comes, you're going to come back. It is written. It is written. You're going to fight until your hand cleaves to the sword. You're going to fight, and you're going to use the word to do it. You can't fight in your own strength. Your external, the giants are too big for you. The giants are too big for your flesh. They are, but they're not too big for God. The Lord is my strength. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Everyone here, we just agree with you. Together, we agree with you that we want the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart to be acceptable to you. We confess to you, you are faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess our secret innermost sins to you. Deal with our heart. Deal with our inner man. Revive us according to your word. Thank you, Lord. If there's anyone here today who's never opened the door where Jesus will come in and dine with you, just open that door. Ask Jesus into your heart to forgive you of your sin. In Jesus' name, amen.